Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone, and happy Monday. Today is another fabulous day. It's feeling like summer here in Southern Cal, and I'm sure you are right amidst the summer blaze there in Texas today, Bruce.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been nice and hot here. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah. So it's that time of year where we used to do the egg test.
On the sidewalk?
Yeah, well, we do it in the backyard where the pool area is there. You know, it's Nimmergood Ranch, right?
Yes, 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 yes.
We do the old, see if we can fry an egg on the pavement, which right about this time of year, you absolutely can.
Yep, yep. You certainly could have yesterday. Today, actually, maybe not quite so much. It's definitely nice and Texas hot out here. How are things in California?
Yeah, it's similar. We're kind of mid-80s today, so this is about as hot as it gets for us, except for the occasional outlier day. We're right amidst summer, though. It's feeling good. Got a little time by the pool yesterday, which was nice for a change. I actually got out of the office and wasn't working for a couple hours and, you know, was just kicking back and loving life. I mean, that's why we do what we do, right? So, yes. But it's just been a beautiful, probably about last week or so, it's just been gorgeous. So, feeling that summer spirit.
Awesome. Awesome.
And you've been quite active on social media lately, sir. You know, lots of selfies, lots of different poses. I think you got your poses down, Bruce, I have to say. Whoever's training you did a good job.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, now, whenever I get a decent haircut, man, that has to get documented. So this last cut was fairly it's definitely worthy of cranking out a post on. So like to catalog those cuts and so I know I had a place on in West Hollywood that used to do my hair when I was there all the time. But I have kind of a war of the barbers right now.
Right there in WeHo, right?
Yep, in the pocket. So
there you go. Yeah. Now, mine is my at-home barber, Naomi. The only challenge with that is getting her to commit to cut my hair is actually quite a challenge. Her schedule's quite busy as well, but when I do finally get her to dedicate the hour to cut my hair, I, like you, come out feeling like $1 million, so that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely definitely a good feeling with that fresh cut. So, when I walk in the place, man, you know, I'm always the next guy, so I love it, so I can just show up and, you know, if she's doing somebody, then I'm always the next person. So it's a good feeling. So
what anything new with you from last week? I know we have an exciting guest on today, but I want to make sure we touch base with our listeners that keep up with our collective coaching journey as well, which we had an exciting conversation, by the way, last week around, you know, kind of packages for the cruise line and whatnot, which I really enjoyed and look forward to continuing that conversation. But anything else new and exciting in your coaching world last week, Bruce?
I was thinking about that. I just had a lot of paperwork and just a lot of closing some things out and paperwork and things like that, and basically getting my son set up for his college orientation. I was excited that he adjusted his Twitter to reflect his graduating class of college, which was good to see him make that transition from high school to college, and so that's always fun to see, you know, see that happen and evolve there. Things are steady. But you know me, there's always another idea around the corner, man. You never know. We might get the phone call from the Royal Caribbean, man. I have to do some coaching on the ship. So
I'm ready.
All right. Stoked.
Yeah, and then maybe we can go from there to the G4 private charters and stuff. I'll tell
there you.
Go. It's there's concentric circles in that line of business. So I warmly welcome it.
With our luck, we'll be seatmates with the cheesy comedian on a Cessna. You never know.
whatever floats your boat, man.
You got no pun intended.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat. Yeah, awesome, my man. Awesome.
That's a mess.
I had kind of an interesting week too last week. Just a quick soundbite, and then like I said, I'm excited to introduce our guest for today. But I actually onboarded a new client last week.
Oh, nice.
So added another to my portfolio, so to speak. And what's fun for me is I'm now starting to, which we talked about a little bit last week, have this pretty well-defined blueprint now, right? It's like this package, you know, here's your marketing, here's your sales support, here's your executive advisorship, let's rock and roll. Right. And word's starting to get out, especially here in Orange County, and really started politicking quite heavily in the last couple months within the Irvine Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And word's getting out, man. So more to follow on that. But I think we might be able to co-develop some things along this vein as well here in the coming months.
Perfect.
So it's an exciting time. Exciting stuff.
Awesome, man. Glad to hear it. Absolutely.
All righty. Well, folks, we are extremely excited to have on what I think is an extremely she's an extremely dynamic, charismatic guest that is a relationship expert. And I had the privilege of meeting her. This was about a month ago. You know, LA Talk Radio does a yearly celebration, you know, for all the hosts that are on, and you know, I was able to make it out there, and she actually has her own show on within LA Talk Radio, all about relationships. So Miss Jamie Bronstein, for the last 18 years, has been guiding people as they navigate their way through the dating and relationship world. She uses a unique approach to help people manifest love, but not just any love, but the right kind of love, the one that is made just for them. She also works with couples struggling in their relationship and people going through a breakup or divorce. Jamie focuses on teaching her clients how to unconditionally love themselves, how to be vulnerable, tap into their inner strength, and live more authentically in order to achieve their relationship goals. She'll not only help you heal and extinguish any negative relationship habits, but also provide you with the tools necessary in order to have a successful relationship. If you've had the pleasure of meeting Jamie, you'll instantly know and be drawn to her energy. She just exudes nothing but positive energy. And you'll be able to tell right away. She puts her heart and soul into all her work, and she truly cares about her clients. So feel confident and feel excited about hearing from relationship experts. Now someone I'm proud to call my friend and another host on LA Talk Radio, Miss Jamie Bronstein. Jamie, welcome to the show. Uh-oh, maybe a technical difficulty.
All right. Woo. Man, so Okay. Well.
Well, perhaps Ronan can bridge her back up then.
Yeah, for sure. How long? Just real quick. How long has she been in the LA area? Did she share with you how long she had been in the California area? Or I'm just kind of curious if she's been there.
I think she's been there for quite some time. So, you know, and I believe her show, we were chatting with her a couple minutes beforehand, that her show was, she's been on for since November. So almost going on a year now.
Okay.
So she really focuses on, you know, and it's some things I'm excited once she gets reconnected here, you know,
hey,
around.
I'm here.
There she is.
All right.
Hi.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to the, we can hear you just fine. Not sure if you heard, but I just, you know, introduced you with your bio there. And so welcome to the show, Miss Jamie Ronstein. We're excited to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'd like to change it up a little bit. You know, it's fun to be on someone else's show. You know, the role is different than being the interviewer, I'd say, on my show.
Yes, it is. Very much so, right? I think when you're put in the hot seat, and we're going to put you in there here in a second, because I personally have some relationship questions for you today. But when you're put in the hot seat, you know, it's a little different than when you're the facilitator and someone that's able to ask the question. So I totally agree with you on that front.
Yeah, I think that there are, you know, it's fun to do both, basically. I think, you know, to run a show, there's definitely like a lot more preparation. And so now this is fun. I just get to see what you have to ask, and I'm here to answer and discuss.
Excellent. Well, my first question is this, right? How did you, you know, maybe you could just tell us in your own words. I mean, I shared a bit about your bio, but just give us your own version of who's Jamie, right? And in particular, maybe share a bit about your story and how you decided to get into the field of coaching and specifically relationship coaching.
Yes, absolutely. So I always say I feel like I popped into this world to do this work because my name, I was named Jamie and spelled J-A-I-M-E because it means in French, the word j'aime means I love. And so it's interesting how my parents read the French language and they decided to name me that. So I feel like I just kind of popped into this world, this little like ball of love. And ever since I can remember, I've just always just been a romantic. My parents have been married for almost 50 years. And so I grew up seeing this beautiful example of a true, authentic, romantic relationship. And I just kind of, I went through my life. I took my first psychology class in high school and I got so excited about it. I couldn't sleep at night. So I knew that there was something there that really, I was intrigued by just learning about people. And then I got my master's in social work after college, where I studied psychology. And I just, at the beginning, I just pretty much took any client, you know, when I was 23 years old, just taking any clients. And then eventually, I don't know, about like 8 years ago, I realized that the clients that came in that were talking about either wanting a relationship or they're in a relationship and they were just struggling, those were the clients that I really just felt the most drawn to. Not that I didn't help the other clients, but I just was, I'm lit on fire. I'm lit up when I get to talk about relationships. So then I decided I would just brand myself, you know, a relationship coach therapist.
That's great. Now, see, Bruce, now that we're getting her in flow here, can you feel that energy vibrating through the phone when she speaks?
Sure.
She really is just a ball of, ball of love, as you said.
I'm a ball of love. Yes, I am.
So you have a little bit of an accent. Are you from like Chicago, or where are you from originally?
Yes, I am from Chicago, and that's so interesting because
how did you know that? That's amazing.
I do not hear my accent, but apparently.
Oh yeah. As a native Texan, it's just screaming somewhere between Cook County and Naperville. Yeah, man.
It's hysterical. I'm originally from Glencoe, Illinois. And then we lived in the city for a while, and then we had moved from Highland Park to San Diego last September. But I've also lived in New York. I've lived in LA. I've lived in Boston and London. I've lived all around.
All righty then. Well, that's cool. That's so you've been in the California area since last September. That's what prompted that that exodus from
Chicago. So I did live in LA from 2003 to 2006. And I, in my mind, had been thinking, this would be great to live in California at some point again, but I wasn't necessarily going to, as you'll hear from me speaking, I believe in the universe and things just flowing and happening at the right time. But about a year ago, my husband got a job opportunity in San Diego. And so I was like, okay, let's go yesterday. So we just, and it's been amazing. I study spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica. So I was flying there all last year, once a month. And now this year for my second year, I've been able just to drive, and I'm writing a book and I'm making a documentary film. So there are a lot of reasons for me to be in the LA area. So it just really worked out. And now I do my radio show as well in LA.
Excellent. Sounds like you got a lot on your plate. You're kind of like us, man, just going and going and going.
Yeah, Energizer Bunny. But also, I'm very big into wellness, and I don't think that it's healthy to work so much that you become stressed. But yet, at the same time, I believe I have like a healthy amount of stress, and I just really take things one minute at a time. And I believe, we have one each day to get accomplished a certain amount. And I do fit everything into the max, and being a wife and a mom. But I do have to say that at the end of the day, I love getting in bed, having my snack, and watching TV for half an hour just to not think about anything. That's my favorite part. And not my favorite part of the day, but it's a part of the day where it's non-working, although I do have to say that my work is heart work. Hard work and heart work. So it's all good.
There you go.
Hard work. I like heart that. Work. Nice little play on words there.
Nice.
I found, and maybe you feel this way too, though, and this kind of speaks to your point, Jamie. When you're doing something you love, and I think, all of us can probably say this, about coaching and working with others, it doesn't feel like work, and I can't imagine my life in a life where I wasn't doing, the work 40, 60, 80 hours a week. And even though that might seem like stress to others, it's not stressful to me. And it truly fills me up. Like, I wouldn't feel whole as a person if I wasn't, contributing that much every week. I don't know if you guys feel the same or what, but I mean, there's that aspect of it for me that I feel like exists for a lot of coaches anyway.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like it's my vitality. It's cliche, but it gets me out of bed in the morning to know that you're changing somebody's life, that you are a part of changing somebody else's life for the better is priceless. It's so rewarding. And yeah, I agree. I love what I do.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about that for a moment and let's dig into it. Cause, I'm extremely fascinated with, I've spent some time with obviously spiritual coaches before, and we've had some spiritual coaches on the show. I think you're probably one of the first, at least since I've been a coach, anyway, relationship coaches that we've had on here. So let's dig into it. So first off here, what can you tell us a little bit about your perspective on kind of self-love and authenticity in order to attract the right people to you in your life?
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of my clients, they come into my office and they're walking around this world, not even aware that they are living in the past pretty much with their old stories, their negative stories about themselves. And so if you're walking around feeling unworthy or unlovable, you're going to attract a relationship that will just give you that feeling. So what I help my clients to do is to really take the time to look inside. And this isn't about confidence. I feel like a lot of people come in, they're like, oh, I'm confident. But confidence is very different from unconditional self-love. That means truly not judging anything that you do or say or anything you are, walking around this world completely free to be completely you. And you know, getting back to what I just said at the beginning is that people walk around and they have regrets about the past, you know. So it's a lot of self-forgiveness work, forgiving yourself for anything that's happened in your life, forgiving the people in your life that have, in quotes, done things to you, let's say, because I believe that everything in life happens for us, not to us. So it's looking at everything in your life and knowing that it's all for our upliftment and our growth. And so we really get into, okay, so what happened to you as a child? What is your story that you keep with you that is your crutch that's preventing you from living the rest of your life and manifesting the person, the right person for you? So I really help people to just do that work. You know, it can be uncomfortable at times to just get in there and just be honest with yourself and the others in your life. But it's so rewarding.
And you know, a lot of it sounds very similar to some of the work I do or have done, you know, mostly on the breaking down barriers, like, you know, leveraging NLP as a foundation to, as you say, get into the subconscious and kind of dig in there and clean some of that rut out. Well, I mean, what have you found is your best maybe technique or is it, maybe it's a series of questions or maybe it's you're setting them up in a certain environment to allow that positive flow of energy to come in and to really unlock these things with them. I mean, could you just share a little bit more around that and how you really get to that point? Because I find people's guard is always up. And maybe you're a little bit better at it because, you know, you, again, you're a self-proclaimed, you know, bundle of love. But I would love to hear just more on that.
Yeah, a few things are coming to me. One is that the person needs to be in a place where they really do want to do the work. Just like if you're going to be quitting smoking or eating healthier, somebody telling you to do those things is not going to make a difference. You actually have to want to do the difference, want to make the change. So a lot of people just have kind of lived their life a certain way for a certain amount of time, and they're just ready to make that change. Also, let's say somebody comes in and they are a little guarded and not comfortable being vulnerable. Sometimes it takes a little time, a few sessions, but my husband always jokes that I meet people all over and they just start talking to me. So yes, there is something about me also that people just feel comfortable. But let's say even if they didn't, because sometimes they don't, I just really, one of the first things that I say to my clients is I will not judge you and I will do my best to understand you, because I feel like in life, that's the biggest ticket. Like when we can feel understood, we feel safe. And, you know, it's like, it's someone is there to witness what you have to say, and they're not going anywhere, and they're going to love you through it, you know? So it's that feeling that I try to have my clients understand and feel.
Awesome. So let's move along here, and let's talk about fear for a second, and what role fear plays in not only relationships, but potentially becoming a negative energy center and perhaps even becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, so I believe that in relationships, if you have a fear of something, if you have a fear the relationship's going to end, if you have a fear that your partner is going to cheat, a lot of times it actually happens because I believe that the universe gives us what we focus on. So if, and your people are not even aware of this, but let's say you're in a relationship and you're terrified the person's going to cheat. That's what you're focused on. You're not focused on enjoying the relationship and in the flow and seeing what happens. So if that were the case, the relationship would have the opportunity to flow and you guys could see what happens. But people that focus on that fear of either the relationship ending or the person cheating, it makes sense when you think about it. If you believe, you know, this way of looking at things, where if the universe gives you what you focus on and you're terrified that somebody's going to do something, then a lot of times they do it because the universe doesn't understand like how to decipher. The universe thinks, oh, they want that. They're focused on it. So what I help my clients with is to really just focus on being present, focus on enjoying the moment, focus on changing your, doing what is in your control, which is you can change your story of not trusting, let's say, or just trusting in yourself. And, you know, also giving that person in the new relationship a chance. Because if someone, let's say, has been cheated on and they go into a new relationship and they're like, oh, it's going to be the same thing. Yes, then there's a good chance it will. But if you go in having done your own work, trusting yourself, then you are able to look at this person as a new person and having nothing to do with that other person in the past. And, you know, they have a chance. The relationship has a chance to work.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point is you just have to be in the right frame of mind and obviously exuding the right energy in order to have the, like you said, the right chance for it to succeed. I love that frame that you're providing here, you know, for our listeners out there, which is, it's really all up to us and it's really all up to the story that we have been telling ourselves. Doesn't have to be the story that we continue to tell ourselves, you know, as we, you know, going through the Robbins training, you know, change your story, change your life. That was one of our mottos. And it sounds like you've adapted a very similar practice in your, you know, mastery of your coaching program.
Yeah. And also what helps my clients is that I let them know that they're not alone. Everybody has gone through something and everybody has gone through a lot of things, you know, in their life, because that's what life is about. We need to have these things that happen for us, not to us, in order to grow and really live our lives authentically and really know who we are. So I think that's another thing why people are kind of hesitant to be vulnerable and to really go inside and do that work and share, because a lot of times people walk around and they're thinking, oh, you know, woe is me, like only me, you know, but really I call it a soul's curriculum. We all come to this earth and we all have things that we need to go through and learn from.
Soul's curriculum. Never heard that one before.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could get more into it if you want me to. That could be another show.
Well, you know, the other thing about the fear I wanted to add is that the older the client, the more times at bat that people have had with relationships, and they've burned through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, you know, relationships, that fear, right? I mean, you know, it used to be false evidence that it appears real, but some of these folks, you know, if they don't really change their paradigm or change what they're doing, right, they will. You know, based on the law of averages, they will embark on a relationship that the partner will cheat or there'll be some breach of trust or whatever, either because their picker is broken or some other things. So I've just kind of noticed that trend, you know, with some of the more, I guess, seasoned clients, you know, their experience base is pretty deep. You know what I mean? the histrionic that selects the narcissist or something, you know, the boy, somebody, you know, they kind of both in that cluster B and just fit in the glove. And it's just, it's hard to break those cycles for some of the client.
It is hard, but it is so far from impossible. Like,
oh,
it
yeah,
is,
for sure.
Everybody can do it. And a lot of times those people have the sense that it's always the other person's fault.
Right.
And so, you know, the work that I do also is about ownership, owning, you know, like, okay, what's the common denominator here? Who's been in all of these relationships, you know? So not that it's the person's fault that the other person cheats. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that unless you start loving yourself, you're going to keep attracting the same relationship.
Exactly. That's a great point.
Mm. So let's talk about law of attraction for a moment, if we could. Let's keep focusing on that. And I you brought up in kind of our pre-show this concept of having a laser focus on who your future spouse could be or should be, versus sort of this concept of being open to possibilities, which I think kind of is a layered approach to what we've been talking about, which is, are you open to changing your story? Are you open to being vulnerable? Are you open to, you know, retooling and refining yourself? Or are you stuck in your ways, right? And how that can really hinder or help, right? Depending on how you approach that, your ability to attract your soulmate, your true, you know, soulmate for life. Could you maybe just talk about that for a couple moments?
Sure. So when somebody picks somebody else to be their, let's say, focus of attention, so they're going around this world, they go on a few dates, they meet this person, and they become immersed, you know, and they really like this person, let's say, okay? So as soon as you find that you are really drawn to somebody and you start thinking about the future and start, like, idolizing a little bit this person, putting them on a pedestal, along with that is born, like we were talking about before, the fear that it's going to end. That's what humans do, okay? But if you can stop yourself in your tracks when you notice that this is happening, because once again, if the universe gives us what we're focused on, the universe is going to give you the end of that relationship. But if you notice that and you say, okay, I want person A, I would like to marry person A, like, this is it, I feel like this is the one. However, I'm open to this or something better for my highest good, okay? Because I believe that the universe has my back. I believe that God or whoever you want to say is going to protect me, you know? And so that way you are open to giving that relationship a real chance at working. The fear has been lifted. You're just, like you said, you're open and you're trusting, you know? I was talking to my friend a few months ago, who I haven't spoken to in a while, and we just randomly in conversation, I said something like, she asked, I don't know if she asked if we are we staying in San Diego, how long we're staying there. I don't even know. She was asking a question about my life, and my answer just flew out of me. I said, I don't plan, I trust. And then we carried on the conversation, got off the phone, and a few minutes later, she texted me, I don't plan, I just trust. Jamie Brownstein. And to me, this is just like normal how I speak now. But it really is so, I believe, so life-changing that you can apply it to everything. So in a relationship, if you don't plan anything out and you just trust and you know that you've done everything possible that you can do to be showing up as you, then that's all you can do. That's all you should do.
Say more about that, right? So for some of us somewhat linear thinkers out there like myself, when I hear that, I instantly think, okay, so what, we don't plan on, like, so there's big topics in a relationship, like, okay, kids, right? So don't plan on kids, just trust maybe that kids will or won't happen, and they're going to happen at the time they're meant to happen. Your next vacation, like, are these the things you're talking about with respect to the relationship?
Yeah, when I've had clients that come in. I had a client who was speaking of babies, and she came in and she kept using the word timeline. This is my timeline. And every time she said it, I'd cringe, you know, for almost 9 or 10 months, she and her husband tried to get pregnant. It wasn't working month after month. And then it did work, but it wasn't in her timeline. And we talked about how, like, it wasn't in your timeline because you had to learn, like, she had to learn about control, you know, like, everybody has to learn something. So yeah, say you get married and you want to have kids. I believe in taking it one day at a time, having the intention. Yes, we'd like to have children, and I'm just going to trust that. And we're going to have sex because that's how you have a baby. But at the same time, saying I have to have a kid by this time is just not helpful. Or I have to get married by this time, you know?
So now you're hitting on a hot button. That's definitely related to me as someone that has been divorced once before and now going at it a little differently this time around. Trusting on timelines of a wedding. That's been a big hot button. So what would your advice be to someone that's in a committed relationship like myself that hasn't set a date yet, let's say.
Wait, so now, are you engaged?
Yes, we're engaged.
Okay. So you're engaged. It's about, like, when do we actually get married? Yes. Is that the question? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you we were going to put you on the hot seat today.
Okay, well, can I ask you some more questions?
Sure.
Okay. So are you excited to get married? Do you want to get married?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Okay. And you feel like it's Naomi, right?
Yes.
And Naomi wants to get married too, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we have, this is great for the equation. So we have two people that are engaged and they want to get married. Does anybody in this equation have a certain, we have to get married by this time? Are we working with any of that or no?
Nope.
Okay. So to me, I feel like there's not a problem. It seems like what I was sensing was that it seemed like somebody in the relationship was putting pressure on something, or no, not at all.
No, not at all. Okay. If anything, it's external forces, and maybe that's where the question's coming from. Like I'll give you the hypothetical, which is, she comes from a big family. I come from a small family. Her family is very Latin influenced, very large family, that somewhat old school way of thinking about, you know, marriage and whatnot. And so I think the thinking here is that there's pressure maybe coming externally from outside forces, outside of the relationship, I should say. But that's not within our, like, you know, when it's the two of us talking, it's maybe different. So, like, how do you manage that? So I guess that's the specific question.
Yeah, because until you said that, I was like, well, then what's the problem? Okay, so there is pressure from somewhere. The best thing I can say to you is, and, you know, I'm writing a book, like I mentioned, and this is a huge part of it, to truly just take a moment for you guys to sit down and have a discussion and see how you're feeling and check in, and to never let any outside, external opinions, anything, ever have anything to do with your decisions and what makes you feel good and when. So, because I feel like I've learned that in my life, you know, when I was younger, before I was evolved enough and mature enough and really knew myself to trust myself. And of course, and as humans and as children, like, we make decisions based on other people. But one of the best things that I've learned in my life is just to stay in my integrity and to just trust my own intuition and what I know is my truth. And so I would just say, you know, with being very respectful, you know, if people bring up, so when's the wedding, you know, just really sweetly and respectfully say, you know, we don't know yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we know, you know. But not to let that have any effect really on any decisions.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's kind of my philosophy on things, and I think it's maybe more difficult for her, and I don't want to speak too much, you know, about her without her here, but when you have a large family like that and there's this implicit wedding invitation that I think they're waiting, you know, patiently on, I think that's the fear. And even in that statement alone, too, I would ask, do you even owe them that, right? Like, we'll let you know. Well, maybe I don't want to let them know. Oh. Maybe I don't want them at my fucking wedding. Like, being kind of like, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here too, but.
Right. Well, then you guys can elope, do whatever you need to do. But yeah, my answer is always just very simply stay in your integrity, stay in what makes you and you guys as a couple feel good about that. It's truly all that matters, because the people that love you, that unconditionally love you, are going to unconditionally love you no matter what, when, how, everything in life, you know, whether it's a marriage or a job or anything.
I love it. Great advice. See, there you have it. Firsthand, you know, example, putting myself on the spot, and she pulls out some great advice. So thank you for that, Jamie. I appreciate that. So along, you know, go back to dating if we could for a moment, because I'm sure you work with a lot that are either of couples that are either dating or maybe even if they're married, and they need to put a little bit of zest back in their relationship again, getting back to that feeling as if you were just first dating. Can you talk about the mirror effect of and law of attraction just in that dating period and maybe beyond period, even when you have evolved the relationship into something more, but where you're able to exude a proper energy, you know, in a dating type of environment?
Yes. Well, so the mirror thing is basically what we were talking about before. Simply like that our outside experiences are a reflection of our inner reality. So, you know, if we are not feeling very good about ourselves, we're going to be attracting experiences and people that bring situations for us to continue not feeling good about ourselves. But to address what you're asking about getting the spark back, basically,
mm-hmm.
in a relationship. So that's an interesting topic that I really do enjoy talking about, and I feel like for me, I don't know if you guys have heard of the Gottmans, but they are therapists. They're a married couple also, and they have forever claimed that they can sit with a couple for I don't remember how long it was, a few minutes, and they can know how long they're going to be together, if they have a chance to be like forever together. And I believe that I have that same ability by just tapping into my intuition. So I truly believe that each couple is different. Every couple it's a different situation. There are certain couples that if they started with a very strong, solid, deep, out of this world, like energetic love, and they truly came to this earth to be together and were in love, and then they just, circumstances in life happen and they feel like they've, in quotes, lost that loving feeling. Yes, they can get back. However, there are a lot of couples that are just really not supposed to be together. They're supposed to be together for a certain amount of time. And if they didn't start off and if they don't have that deep connection, then maybe they're not supposed to get that loving back. However, I do believe that everybody needs to at least try, let's say. You know, it's good to try. And also what's very interesting to me is that couples come in and I look at myself as a detective. I like to solve this mystery, you know, because they come in and I can clearly see that one person out of the party does not feel it, is not feeling it, and wants out pretty much, you know, wants to move on with their life and be with the person that is right for them. So that's a problem also, that usually ends in a relationship that's not supposed to be together, and they both move on. So that's also interesting to me too, because both parties really have to want it to work.
Well said. So let's pivot for a moment and let's have some fun with some speed round questions here. Bruce, I want you to jump in and play in on this one too, all right? So the first one is to kiss or not to kiss on the first date.
Who answers first?
I want to hear from Bruce on this one first.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm here. So, you know, I don't think there's a set rule on that. I think that, you know, every date is different and some of the precursors to it are different, but I think if the vibe is there, you know, and you're really picking up on something there, I think it's fine to kiss on the first date.
I'm sort of along the same vein, although, you know, my mother always taught me to be a gentleman, and at least growing up, she was like, hey, you know, ask permission or ask it in your own way, maybe not even directly, but, you know, you're looking for signs and all that, not to sort of force it. But I believe energetically that, if you're, you know, if there's an energy and a vibe to kiss on the first date, you know, then go for it. Yeah. I don't know. What does the relationship expert say on this one?
As a lady, I would say that for me and for all the women that I, well, not everybody, but I personally, for me, it was, if I was into the guy, it was a message that he was into me. And if it didn't happen and I really liked him, I would wonder, why didn't he kiss me? Maybe he's not into me. And that actually happened with my husband because we had an amazing first date. And then it was like, there was no, when am I going to see you? It was like, bye. And he explained to me later on, I learned that he said, if he didn't know the girl before, he wasn't like comfortable and like didn't really know the girl, then he never kissed the girl on the first date. And so that was his own thing. Okay. But I truly believe that if two people want to kiss on the first date, it's wonderful. And also for me, the kiss is like, I had to, and my second date with my husband was not for like a month because he was traveling, but the kiss really helps you know if you're gonna like her. Like, there's so much. It's not just a kiss, it's like it says so much. So
it sure does.
I'm a big, huge first date kisser.
Yep. I agree.
Love it.
Hey, I'll jump on this. I can jump on the second one. Calling versus texting, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go with calling. If you feel like you want to go the extra, you know, like you're into this person, you really want to add that personal touch to the interaction, you definitely want to call. Texting is just kind of now standard equipment on all models. It's just no big deal. There's no big differentiator there unless you use some serious, you know, emojis, bitmojis or whatever. So I'm going to say, you know, definitely call. If you're feeling pretty serious and want it, you know, toward the person, want to make that real good impression of you know, importance.
Yeah, I'll echo that, and I'll say, but for those that are affluent texters, and I think there is a sentiment in today's society that everyone's busy. And let's say you were genuinely trying to call and you just had a hard time connecting with the other person, you know, because your schedules weren't matching up. I love the audio message feature on the iPhone for the iPhone users out there. It's sort of like a little mini call, but at least you're getting your tonality and whatnot across as if you were talking to them. I know you're not having a true back and forth conversation, but it's a little bit better than a text message, in my opinion. What do you think, Jamie?
Yes, I think that it depends on the situation. If it's just across the board, if it's right at the beginning of a dating, especially with the youngins these days, like girls, I know guys are taught, like my brother, he's always like, mom said I need to call the girl, you know, and I'm like, but actually there are a lot of girls these days that they would just rather you text. So I think it's, I think times are changing. I think that this, these new generations that are dating, they actually would rather text because, yay, we can make the plan. Let's just text instead of like plain phone tag for so long to get on the phone. And so personally, I'm a big fan of the text, but also not doing it forever. Like, let's text, let's make a plan, let's get in person.
You know what, Justin, we're out of time.
And on that note, we're out of time. So,
no, dang.
Look at that. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
So much fun, you guys.
It was good, though.
So much fun. And thank you for all the advice, Jamie. It was for me personally. And I hope the listeners got something out of my little self role play there as well.
Well, thanks for having me on today. You guys are amazing. And Justin, you're going to be on my show in a few weeks.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, Bruce, as we wrap up here, Jamie, just before we wrap things up, please tell all our listeners out there how they can reach out or get in contact with you.
Yes. So feel free to check out my website, www.therelationshipexpert.com, or you can email me at Jamie, J-A-I-M-E, at therelationshipexpert.com. My Instagram is the relationship expert, just an X, not EX, expert. And you can definitely find me that way. Thanks so much. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Jamie. It was a pleasure having you on today. And you definitely are a ball of love and energy. So we had a great time. Thank you.
All right, folks. So that wraps up another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And of course, see Jamie's show, Love Talk Live, on the video channel on LA Talk Radio. Awesome. Everything is archived there. And there's some presences on some other aggregators as well. So check that out. And just be with us next week here on the LA Talk Radio Concierge Coaches Show. We'll see you, everybody, next week. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.